The miracle of the raising of the widow's son is anticipated by the first reading when Elijah gave life to that child. This is a miracle. It's one of the three great resurrection miracles. The other was the daughter of Jairus. We remember the words, Talitha cum, young girl, get up. And of course, Lazarus, who had been dead for some days. Nain is in Judea, not far from Jerusalem, a small town, and there the widow's son, her only son. She has no husband. The death of her son means destitution. There's no social welfare back then, no centre care, no centre link, no St. Vincent de Paul, no means of gaining an income without a family. There's no future. So the bereavement was not just at the death of a child, but at the destitution of the mother. Our Lord enters the scene, sees her sorrow, and with compassion, empathy, brings the boy back to life. As I said, this is one of the three great resurrection miracles that prepare us for the greatest miracle, the resurrection of Christ himself from the dead. And of all the miracles our Lord worked, this is one that reminds us of his utmost compassion for us. But that's not the only reason why the miracle happened. We recall that our Lord lived for 33 years on earth. There are 33 miracles he worked, one for every year he was with us. Some of the miracles were bringing sight back to those who were blind, others walking on water. There is miracles concerning persons, miracles that concern nature. All these miracles have a purpose, a path in God's plan. What's the path? Well, what's a miracle? A miracle is an extraordinary event. It's an inexplicable event. It's a phenomenon that science baffles with and at. That's a miracle in its proper sense. Of course, we've all seen on television or heard about people who went to a healing service, couldn't walk, the preacher or minister touches them, they can walk. A miracle has happened. And of course, sometimes we hear with regards to our football, that was a miraculous mark. Oh, look at that goal. It was a miracle. It got through. The words miracle are bandied around, and I think perhaps we become a little bit sceptical regarding what is an extraordinary, inexplicable phenomenon. Miracles are proof of the divine reality, grace, a power, a force that we cannot see, feel, or touch that exists. Miracles cannot be detected by scientific means. At the same time, if something is a miracle, science ought to stand back in awe and be baffled by it. There are some miracles with regards to things that are still happening on earth. Take, for example, the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's miraculous. They don't know what the colours are on that cloth. And that cloth ought to have disintegrated hundreds of years ago. There's also the Shroud of Turin. The markings on the shroud are inexplicable. They don't know what caused those markings. Of course, there's been debate over the age of the shroud, but there's somewhat dubious causes of that debate. But nevertheless, the markings, they don't know what those markings were caused by. Science just says, look, we don't know, we're not too sure, we don't have an answer for that one. Of course, there's that great miracle, nearly 100 years old, of the sun dancing in the sky, seen by nearly 100,000 people at Fatima. A few people may have hallucinations or see things which, you know, might not have happened in the sun or might not have, but 100,000? The NCG field, all seeing the same thing at the same time, in the same place, all being utterly convinced. There's more to that than meets the eye. And as we get closer to the centenary of Fatima, we'll hear more about that extraordinary event in history. And of course, there's all those miracles of Lourdes, the great Marian apparition, that beautiful shrine hidden in the Pyrenees Mountains. I think Lourdes is the best place to go to prove to sceptics that miracles do exist, because they're fixed into science. There's the Medical Bureau, International Medical Bureau, at Lourdes. There's been about 9,000 so-called healings at Lourdes, but only 91 of them have been testified as miraculous by this bureau, made up of a collection of scientists, doctors, and specialists from throughout the world, and nothing to do with the church or religions. It's independent. And of course, for them to testify that this is a miracle, they have the most stringent tests. You must be proven to have the illness, sickness, disease before the event of coming to Lourdes. And after you've left Lourdes, if you claim the miracle has happened, it must be then scientifically proven that one, there has been a complete healing, two, it's permanent after many, many years. And they documented these cases, these 90-odd cases. The most outstanding one, which I find still extraordinary, is the woman who came to Lourdes utterly blind. Why was she blind? Well, she had no pupils. Pupils are hard to see, isn't it? She bathed in the waters and then left Lourdes with sight. She still had no pupils, but she could see. That's a miracle. That's extraordinary. That's a phenomenon that's inexplicable to science. That's divine power in our midst. We need to study miracles, the what of the miracles, authentic miracles, to have that conviction that, yes, we are not alone. There are things that happen in this world that do defy science, do defy our eyes and the facts of the world in which we live. In other words, there's another world hidden, the invisible world, the spiritual world, the world of God, grace, and angels that does exist in our midst. And by studying miracles and looking at them, we become more convinced, as was the widow with the rising of her son. We see the presence of God in our midst. Of course, that's all got to do with the what of miracles in the past with Christ and in the present with us. Why did our Lord work this miracle? Why did he work any of the miracles? Why did he not work some miracles that he could have? The answer to the why is simply put, our Lord worked miracles apart from his compassion and empathy for those in need or for those suffering, so that we might be convinced that he wasn't a mere man. And that's the bottom line. The purpose of the miracles was to give conviction to what he was saying, to let them know that he wasn't like them. He was, inasmuch as he had a human nature, but he also was God made man. He had a divine power, being God himself. And the miracles were to convince them of the message he came to tell them, the gospel of salvation. Because if you don't have miracles to back up what you're saying, words don't go very far. The miracles were the testimonial, one might say. Look what he did, therefore what he said must also be true. So let us be convinced of the miraculous powers of Christ on earth back then and the presence of the divine reality in the world still with us today. And in both cases, let that conviction lead us to believe firmly in the presence of Christ's word and the promise he has given to those who are now on earth, and please God, who remain faithful unto eternal life. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.